Welcome. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive, cleaning up the mess here, but we're doing something pretty great next week. We're going to be doing a Cup of Super Bowl. It is Crab Cake Row. We don't do Radio Row around here anymore. We're like Alanis Morissette, uninvited, but we are very invited and inviting everybody to come out and participate and help us with the Maryland Food Bank next week as we do a Cup of Super Bowl. It is our initial turn at 8 hours a day of live marathon radio beginning on Monday at Fadley's Lexington in the market. Tuesday will be a Costas. I'm wearing my Costas shirt. Being Dundalk. Wednesday will be a Coco's. Thursday, we will be out at State Fair in Catonsville, and then on Friday up at Pappas in Cockeysville. Great Maryland crab soup. Great cream of crab soup. You can go 50-50. All the things that they don't feed Billick out in Columbus, Ohio, right, and up in the sturgeon you're pulling out of the Northern Bay in Minnesota, wherever your golf course is. We had Coach Billick on last week. Of course, our partner on behalf of the Living Classrooms Foundation. I just learned that James Bond is going to be coming out on Monday to join us at the first stop at Fadley's to talk about Living Classrooms Foundation. So it'll be great to catch up with him and all the things he does, which I know you're interested in, but you're interested in football. I mean, you got 49ers roots, and I know how much you love San Francisco. You got Ravens roots. And all I could think about was games guys like you lost as opposed to the ones you won. You won the Super Bowl, you show the ring off. Every other time you did this, there was hurt feelings involved for all of you who won Super Bowls, but somehow lost a whole bunch of other big games like this, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's painful, particularly when it reminded me of when I was in Minnesota in the 98 team, when we were just a cod lock to go. And we were going to go to the Super Bowl. And we're at home, championship game, hadn't had one in Minnesota for years and years and years. And Atlanta came in and, you know, we lost. And that lingers because of the expectation. And I know, like everybody, I thought it was a slam dunk. I thought Baltimore at home, they played well enough to win, except for the turnovers, the mistakes. And that's against a good team like Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City Chiefs. That's going to get you beat. And that one stinks. It's going to ride for a while with them.
Coach, I know you've been around this a long time on every end of all of these things and different divisions and different roles and all that. I come at it as a fan, right? I was at the Ghost of the Post game as a young boy, leaving that game after Casper, right? I was at the Drive game in Cleveland, the first AFC as a fan. Ernie, of course, he got me a ticket down the right field line. I was on the 50-yard line sitting alone. I went with Phil Jackman. I walked out of that stadium that day as a 17-year-old guy. We lost our football team here. You could hear a pin drop. Man, your game in Minnesota, I didn't leave the stadium with the fans. I was in your locker room. It was the day I met you. And I thought of you, and I knew I had you booked today after this. And I know you well, man. We were partners. I love you. And I don't think I talk to you much about that. And when I bring it up, it's Josh. And, hey, it was the day we met, and I waited for you. And it wasn't it wonderful? My God, that was just as – I was as an ugly as scene as I've ever seen, and you were a part of it. And I'm friends with you long enough to know I don't bring it up much with you. But today's the day to bring it up and say, how much do you think about that? Because you see the ring, you know what I mean? Everybody knows the glory, but boy, that was a rough day.
26 years ago. And I don't go a month that isn't brought up anytime anybody's talking football, particularly if I'm in Minnesota or, you know, whatever, because that team, a little like Baltimore, was such a, you know, Garrett, it's, you know, that offense and everything we're doing, they're going for Super Bowl. It's one thing to think, oh, could we go and we'll play and we'll win and we'll go to the Super Bowl. But for it to be a foregone conclusion, a little like, I think, with Baltimore this year, because they were playing so well and they had everything in order, it stings that much more. And it's hard for the fans. It's hard for the players and the organization because of the expectation. Great game. And obviously against a great opponent. I think Baltimore is a better team. But clearly it shows at the end of the day, as it always has been, big plays, turnovers, and penalties. That's at the end of the day. It's like there's a great saying in the profession. It's not the best team that wins. It's the team that plays best that wins. And that's what happened. I don't know if the best team won, but the team that played best and made the fewest mistakes won the game.
I saw you lose games, saw you win games, big games, small games, awful games. I had Matt Stover on talking about missing the kick in Miami so far today, and I had Dwan Edwards on already today talking about 2006 and the expectation. You guys were 15-1 in Minnesota. I hate to be bringing up all the awful days, but this 06 game as well, that was my darkest sort of day as a Raven fan because of the expectation level and where you were with McNair and how well the team had played and the pedigree of the defense and the fact that you had done it before and Ray and a lot of those guys had done it before. I just think the expectation when you're 15-1 there, you better win, you know, like, and then that sits with you. And I think of this team and the opportunities of where they were on Sunday at home, having Patrick Mahomes on the road, avoiding Josh Allen and Burrow and all the rest of those quarterbacks, almost full health, Marlon Humphrey maybe aside, other teams missing their spy linebacker against Lamar. They're missing their all-pro guard. I mean, just every part of it felt like this is something they're really going to regret for a long time because this is really hard to get this game back here ever again, right?
It is because it's everybody – people always ask – you know, is how hard, talk about how hard it is to repeat as a Super Bowl champ after you win it the next year. And I always remind, no, it's hard to win a Super Bowl, period. All the things that have to line up and stack up in order for you to walk off that field with that trophy in a single year, let alone back to back. And then we'll be talking about that ad infinitum with Kansas City and this year and the whole nine yards. Along the same thing. And I always say, no, it's hard in terms of what has to happen. And things align for Baltimore to put them in this position. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen again. And I'm sure they'll take, well, we'll come back, we'll be better. But they also know that all the things that have to happen for that to be, you know, a lot of it's fate. And a lot of it just, it is what it is. And that's why it's a missed opportunity. When you get so close, and it's right there, you can taste it, and it doesn't happen. Like I said, that stings and lingers with you for a while.
I say, I've known you 25 years. I don't know how many crosswords we've had, maybe one or two or a handful somewhere along the way. I don't remember many of them, but I remember vividly the game in Detroit at Ford Field when the flags were throwing and Bart Scott and Terrell, I mean, everybody kind of lost their mind. After that, there's one time after the game that you looked at me like you were going to kill me and you waved me off and you're like, not today. And I think you were as frustrated by the behavior of your players and your accountability in that and composure. Coach, I thought about this during the game. I thought this is, they've lost their composure. Roquan Smith's popping guys, Clowney's popping guys. I mean, clotheslining the MVP, not the MVP this year, but the best player in the sport in Mahomes, the way they did. There were just so many things that were out of character, that were composure oriented, that really fall on John's desk, whether he wants it to or not.
Yeah, it's not, that's not fair, but that's true. I mean, it's as the head coach, just like in Detroit, that's the players and the emotion, everything spun out of control. And I don't know what you could do to get it back other than take all those guys off the field, which is, I mean, okay, you're going to take Roquan Smith off the field. You're going to take Zay Flowers off the field after he stands up over that guy and does what he does. You can't. So as a coach, it's tough because the team spins out of control and you saw it again. It's the same thing. You try to address it. You try to make it a teaching moment with the guys, you know, going, guys, and now isn't the time, but there will be going, are losing our composure. This is what it cost us. We got to learn from that because we're going to be in that position again at some point. And we've got to collectively and individually learn that. That's a tough lesson to learn. And the accountability for it, because, you know, the players will look at it from the standpoint of, well, you know, it's passion for the game. They'll try to excuse it as passion for the game. And they'll also, well, it was just me, just one time. Yeah, but you have 5-6 guys that it happens one time and it spins out of control. And that's the result in the most, you know, highlighted of situations. So, yeah, that is a tough one for the coach and the coaching staff and the organization, and the players have to address. They first have to recognize, as we had to after that Detroit game, that then take account. Yes, that's what happened. We lost control. Can't excuse it. Can't blame it on the officials or on the moment or excuse it by the passion of the game, we lost control. You have to recognize that if you're going to learn from it.
You know, Matt Stover came on earlier today. I've had all your former players on. And Matt mentioned that at one point, Bill Belichick, when he was a Brown, before the Ravens came, coached the defense to piss off Orlando Brown so he would take punches at them in practice so that in the game it wouldn't happen.
Right.
It happened to you. It happened late in his career. I love Zeus, whatever. He had a reputation for kick him in the shins, bite him at the bottom of the pile. He'll punch you back. You'll get 15 yards. It happened with the season on the line. I don't need to tell you. I was there. It was a long time ago. I had a feeling, and you can speak to this a little bit because you know Andy real well, and Steve Spagnuolo and Dave Tobe know John real well. John's a little more fiery than you. I know both of you well. You are much more calm than John. John's more hot-headed and certainly was younger and all that. I think there was a point where they told Travis Kelce, throw that stuff on Justin Tucker down there when he's mouth off. Get have Arthur Millette throwing punches that lead the broadcast, literally. I covered hockey for a long time, Coach, right? I remember the old hockey skates, and we're going to yell, and we're going to scream, we're going to mouth off, and we're going to see who gets the extra 2 minutes for the shove in the face, and we're going to score the power play goal. I don't think about the football mind game in that way because it's so hard to begin with to keep your focus. There's so many things going on in any given play that everybody has a responsibility, that a calm mind. But hearing Tony Romo talk about Lamar Jackson trying to calm his mind on the bench and having a quarterback that pounds the ground like I don't see any other quarterback doing that in the Pop Warner sort of way. It's Lamar's way. It's his expression. But I don't know that the Chiefs didn't coach this week to say, let's do the Orlando Brown model of getting under somebody's skin and getting Roquan Smith off his game, getting these guys off their game, because that's how we're going to win. Kelce clearly was an agitator. It reminded me of hockey. It really did.
And that's his game. You have to – and they came in the underdog, chip on their shoulder, because everybody was disrespecting them, you know. And they know that Baltimore, because of the nature of the team, has been for years and years and years, that, you know, physical – play like a Raven, that mentality that you have, confident, that, oh, absolutely. I can't imagine there weren't pushing of buttons to saying, okay, which of these guys can we get to bend to the pressure? And sure. And that's just gamesmanship. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's all part of it. Because the Ravens play that game a lot. You know, have been
bullies, right? Literally, the bullies. Yeah, you made a movie about your
just,
team.
You know, a competitive nature that says we think we're good, and we're going to make sure you know we think we're good, and see if I can get you to lose your composure, because we won't. And the most part, we didn't. But when you do, and it goes the other way, then you can see it. So, but you know, that's all part of the game, and you know, all this where they are right now, it's regroup, go at it next year. You know, you've got a good team. You've proven that. I don't know what their cap situation is or whatever, and what changes have to be made in the offseason, as every team has to deal with. But knowing that, you know what, if we're lucky, we're going to be right back here doing the exact same thing, either Mahomes or with Josh Allen or with C.J. Stroud or with any one of these great young quarterbacks, Burrow, a healthy Burrow, you know, maybe.
Yeah, deal with his brother now with Justin Herbert out in L.A., right?
Yeah. How about that? Exactly right. And that, you know, so, yeah, you're going to be here again. So what are we going to learn from? And the hard part is it's one of those things that's a little like, because like the conversation about Lamar, can he win the big game? And well, it was great that they won the playoff game against Houston. But that's not over. That's going to pick right back up, and it's going. And they know that, and Lamar knows that until he wins the big game, and that's fair. That's the way it's going to be. You have no control of that. So, and the hard part is, you're going to carry that all year long, because it doesn't matter what you do during the regular season, it doesn't address the well. You can't win the big one until you win the big one. So that's the emotional baggage you kind of carry along until you get that opportunity to rewrite the record book. And that's going to be the challenge for Lamar and the organization.
It's hard to beat the best quarterback. I mean, I don't know how many weeks you rolled the ball out there Maybe in Minnesota, you had the best quarterback a lot of the weeks. Around here, you didn't every week. I mean, against, you know, certain weeks you did when you're playing Spurgeon Wynn or somebody like that. But when you come in with Mahomes and you don't care who you're playing and you have the best quarterback or you have that guy, I don't know that we perceive Lamar to be that guy or that he's shown that he's that guy. He's a two-time MVP. But if you gave me one of the two quarterbacks on Sunday, much like when you got beat with McNair, Manning was the best quarterback in the sport, so you sort of tip your cap to some. But that guy always wins. The best quarterback always seems to win in your sport.
You know, and I'm be going out to Vegas and doing the whole thing and analyzing, okay, how's this matchup? And it's going to be a great matchup. And San Francisco, there's so many different things that San Francisco can do that this ought to be a great matchup. And you can look at their ability to run the ball and the defense and get pressure with a four-man line and play zone behind. Do all the things you got to do to beat Kansas City, and they're there. And you can go round and round with it, and it's all legitimate. But at the end of the day, but they got Patrick Mahomes. At the end of the, and you can't quantify. It's just, he's special. You can't quantify it. You're not going to stop it. It's like, you know, the Jordan of the day. Well, all we can hope to do is contain him, try to keep up with him. And the Ravens defense, to a large degree, did a great job. I think I said it last week, that if we were going to sit here and talk about a Kansas City win, it was going to be a Patrick Mahomes, and it was going to be the ability of Pacheco and for them to run the ball, uncharacteristic against a Ravens defense. And that it's that combination was going to, if indeed they were going to lose, it was going to be that. Well, the Ravens held up. They didn't. They tried. They kept going, and they had some good runs. But for the most part, they handled the Pacheco running game, which is the personality of that team, separate of Mahomes right now. I also told you what's the one thing that John had to tell the coordinator. I don't care if we lose. I don't care if it's 100-0. Don't let Kelce catch a pass, right? For him to go off the way he did was and the Ravens have some great personnel to match up. Like I said, Hamilton's just a phenomenal player. But you try to go one-on-one or you try to go just zone, you lose. Kelce's going to have the kind of day he does. And that's going to be the challenge for San Francisco now. You know, what do you do to take Travis Kelce out of the game? Because if you don't, he's going to have, what do you have, 11 catches, 12 catches, set a NFL record or something? And the hard part is, if you don't, and once it starts into the game, then the player's going, okay, obviously we don't have a plan to stop this guy. And they eventually blame the coaches, right? Which is fair or not fair. You had a plan, think you have the personnel, you got to change it up. But when he starts going off, and particularly in the critical third downs, when you know where Patrick Mahomes is going, and to not stop it, that's going to be the challenge for San Francisco right now, particularly on third down. I don't care if you have to put 9 guys on Kelce. You got to do something to take Kelce out, or Patrick Mahomes is going to find him. And that's going to be the challenge for San Francisco.
Been going on a long time. Head coach Brian Billick, our head coach on behalf of Living Classrooms Foundation. He's headed to the real Super Bowl. We're going to be having a cup of Super Bowl next week.
Yours will be more fun. I'd rather come out and spend time with your cup of Super Bowl.
You know what? We can arrange that in the future because we're going to be doing that. This will be our first rodeo, but not our last rodeo with doing this. But I guess last thing for you, and because you'll be talking about this all next week as well. Andy, relationship with him, knowing this Chiefs team, knowing where Brock Purdy is, I find it very hard to like the 49ers, even though they came back on Detroit. And we can talk about the pain of the Lions, but the 49ers have really. They've been a scuffling team here the last couple of weeks, and they're in the Super Bowl.
Shocking what Detroit did in that first half. Now, they regrouped, okay, both offensively and defensively. And you know, again, the criticism, well, you didn't stay with the running game like Baltimore. People say, oh, they didn't stay with the running game. They didn't have a chance. Kansas City chewed up that clock in the first half. So they didn't have a chance to stay with the running game. And by that time, now you got to start throwing around and try to catch up. So against a defense that was obviously outstanding and very opportunistic. San Francisco is going to be the same way. San Francisco has all the elements to beat Kansas City. They really do. But you got to do it. And they did almost did it the last time. I remember the last time these two teams played. I said that Kyle Shanahan would sell his soul to the devil if you could promise him, just give me a chance in a one-score game with us having the ball last. Which means Patrick Mahomes doesn't have it, because that's a losing proposition. And they had that, but they couldn't close it out, right? And they ended up giving the ball back to Mahomes, and the rest is history. So San Francisco is capable of their game plan, just what we saw in reverse. Chew up the clock, put Patrick Mahomes in a tight situation because he doesn't have as many series, run the ball, make the big plays down the field that they're capable of, put a 4 or 5 man rush, keeping Mahomes in the pocket, which you saw Kansas City do very, very effectively to Lamar for the most part, and try to play matchup zones in behind it. If you got to play some man, that you're going to match up well with that, but you better put two on Kelce. So they have the personnel to put the kind of game plan together that can beat Kansas City. Now, will they? Can they? And at the end of the day, does Patrick Mahomes do his typical special things that makes the difference? So it is a good matchup, and it's one that I can't get past. Yeah, but they got 15, so I got to go with 15 and Kansas City in the game.
I know it's hard for you to be sort of pushed out of the game and doing television, and you thought you might coach again. You never really coached again, except Arizona State and going back later on. Belichick and Pete Carroll at this point being – Marvin would always say, we don't get smarter. We don't get dumber. We get smarter as coaches. You know, you learn more.
All of a sudden, yeah. And
Marvin's exactly back right in the game, right? You know, going to Vegas with Antonio Pierce. The fact that Belichick and Pete Carroll – that – they might not find seats, or certainly Belichick might not find a seat because it appears he wants one right away. Pete might not want one, but the youth movement of
McDonald
being the hot coordinator and Ben Johnson being the hot coordinator. You were that guy and worked out for you, but you know, 5 out of 6 of these guys, they'll be looking for another coordinator job exactly 3 or 4 years from now. It's tough.
Well, there's no question. No matter what you choose, you know, it's the same formula. You always tend to hire the opposite of what you just fired. And there's always the trends. You know, it's the college guy, or it's the former pro head coach, or it's the pro coordinator, or it's that, you know, and that gets hot for a little bit. But no matter which direction you go, 4 out of 5 are going to lose. Get fired at the end of the day. Just because it's a tough job and there's no one set formula. Right now, we're clearly in the young guy. You know, particularly if you've had lunch with Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan, you're getting a head job in the NFL. That's what they're looking for right now. And so that's the cycle we'll go through. So
it's also a whole lot more inexpensive than trying to get Bill Belichick. You're building in $150 million, dollars, right?
Sure. And the fact that with Belichick, I can just see I think we joked about it last week with Belichick with that Atlanta job. And I know a little about the Atlanta job because of Mike Smith and Arthur Blank and Rich McKay, and you know, have some perspective on that with Mike being the head coach. That was never going to happen because Belichick and if nothing, Belichick going to be completely honest. Well, I can see that conversation didn't go well, going, you two got to get out of the building. Okay. You got to clear this building out, and I'm going to redo the whole thing. If you want me here, that's what you got to do. And they're going, whoa. You know, and that's not necessarily a bad thing because he's done a great job with that and shown that he can win with it. But yeah, I don't know of too many owners, and particularly this is a general manager's league now. And what general manager is going to bring in Bill Belichick unless it's one of his guys? And even if it is one of his guys, he's going, I know what's going to happen here. We bring him in. Yeah, this is going to be a partnership up until the point the first time Bill wants to do something and I don't. And then we're going to know how that partnership really works. So, it'll be interesting to see. Pete's a different cat in that regard, but both those guys were 72, 73 years old. It's hard for me because I can't imagine. I can't imagine the grind. I can't imagine and even wanting to do it. But
when did you stop wanting to do it?
You know, I got to hang around it because of the media thing for a while. It wasn't a matter of not wanting to do it. It was more a matter of realizing this isn't going to work. I could say I want to do it. Certainly would like to have the money. But at the end of the day, my heart and soul wouldn't be in it the way I knew what it was before. Okay. And I knew what my life was about and how 24/7, 365 days a year, that's got to be it.
And you love your wife and your daughters and your own personal sanity.
You know, and now golf, you know, and that's why I never played golf. They always said you can have a good career. You can be a good father and husband, and you can be a good golfer. You can maybe do two out of the three, but you got to choose which two. But I wouldn't be able to sustain the passion that I used to have for the game. That now, and could those guys, or are they just convinced themselves that they are? I don't know. Bill Belichick doesn't know anything else.
Well, I was going to say, once you don't know anything else, it's like me doing this. Like, I don't know what else in the world I would do. I really don't. I've been doing it 32 years. I don't know anything else.
Yeah, and for Pete Carroll, and Pete's a pretty eclectic guy. And, you know, once you do get out, you realize this is okay.
I have other interests.
I can enjoy this. And you know what? I don't care how poorly I putt or how badly I play. No one's trying to run me out of town. So life's good.
Well, I still call you from out of town once in a while. Coach Billick is here. You can follow him out on Twitter. He will be what are you pimping in Las Vegas? Everybody pimping something. See, this is why I did the charity thing, sure. Coach, because I've done 27 Super Bowls. Everybody would come by and they pimp product X, but they would also pimp charity Y, right? So I'm just doing this thing next week to say, we're just going to do charity Y, and we'll figure out the pimping of the soup and the products and doing good things. But Radio Row is about giving some information from some famous guy with a ring like you for a product, but also a cause. So what do you got going for me next?
I remember when Kevin Byrne, and I first went to work at the Ravens and developed a close relationship with Kevin Byrne, our director of communications. And he said, you know, Brian, at the end of the day, the NFL is one thing. It sells stuff. That's all it really is you're selling stuff. You're selling the product. You're selling the time. You're selling the players. And so you're right. Radio Row is just, I told you last week, it's this signal relief. It's a real deal. It's bad. In fact, I just got out of the pool. And so my shoulders and back is where I feel it, where I feel the fatigue and the ache. I put this thing on and it literally blocks the pain. It blocks the electrical signals that allow you then to do the other things. It's called signal relief. You got to check this out. It's reusable. It's very effective that way. You put it wherever you need it. This is pretty. I'm looking forward to hawking this thing next week at the Super Bowl.
I know you are. I thought of you last week. I was in your favorite town out on the West Coast having some margaritas with my dear friend Julio Bermejo. And we drove into the city from the West Side at night. And we went down into a hill and we came up and there was Coit Tower. And all I could think of is your love for your wife. And so whenever I see Coit Tower, it triggers me to think about you and Kim Billick. How about that?
Yeah, no chance. I quartered her in San Francisco when you've got the bridge and Coit Tower. And
there's Alcatraz over there, the lights.
She had no chance. She had no chance but to say yes.
All I could say is I came back, over the weekend. I spent a couple days last week out there. And I came back and I said, it's still the most beautiful city in the world. Like, I can't get over how beautiful
as long as you see it from 30,000 feet, don't get down onto the streets. It's just sad.
But Julio has a sign that says, if you love San Francisco, defend San Francisco. So there is a little bit of that. And, I would agree with you. American cities in general have a little ways to go. And I'm traveling around a little bit. They don't have a ways to go in Kansas City or in San Francisco right now, or Santa Clara. They're in the Super Bowl. Coach Billick will be out in Las Vegas next week. We will be doing the Cup of Soup or Bowl. The Crab Cake Row tour begins on Monday at Fadley's. Get all the information at Baltimore Positive. All right, dude, you're off the clock. I'll bother you again next year when they're 0-0. Go hit the golf ball, ski, do all that stuff. We got baseball season here now. You're You're of no use to me anymore. We'll call you back in football season. All right.
Got it. All right,
we
man.
Have two seasons here now. We have a baseball team. It's amazing, Brian. They won last year and stuff. It was good. Brian Billick is our friend, our head coach on behalf of the Living Classrooms Foundation. He is resting comfortably out in Columbus, Ohio, and is off the clock and onto the skis very, very soon. We are WNSD, AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.